Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
Do you know your 80s music, AJ?
I do.
Ashley?
Yes.
All right. A head-to-head competition.
All right, yes. Stretch it out first.
Phil, you'll keep score.
She's stretching, Chaz.
I'm getting ready.
She's actually stretching.
Okay, good luck.
Fun. Okay, how do you determine that one?
I get 2 points because of the artist.
What are you making up rules?
Yeah, that wasn't the rule. The rule was song title. That means point goes to AJ.
No!
Yeah, because you said the artist first. Right. You lost a half a second.
Girls okay. Want fun, yes.
All right.
Another one I was never fond of. Let's hear it for the boy.
Oh, yeah.
This is her only hit, right?
Yeah. Was it Vanessa Williams, wasn't it?
Denise
Williams, right?
Yeah.
The Playgirl.
Check. I don't know. It might be Dennis now. I have no idea.
Yeah. Let's go crazy. Oh, no. Dangerous. Twilight Zone. Thank you. It sounded like the beginning of a Prince song for a second.
It really did.
Dancing Myself. Addicted Love.
Oh, no.
This is all you. Go for it. No idea.
Oh, I've heard it before. This is not fair. He lived through it.
I heard you.
Oh, Video Killer Radio Star. I don't recall that beginning part.
I don't either.
I don't think MTV played that part. This was a stupid video too.
I don't remember the video.
It's the Buggles, yeah. They're just weird people. And if you've seen them now. The age, time did not do well for them. Oh, yeah, they did not get better with age. They became more freaky looking. They look like little actual bugs now.
This was before people knew that music videos were going to be important, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't putting any effort in.
Right, this was actually the first video, I think, on MTV, wasn't it?
It was the first thing
one played.
They played.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, how did that work out for you?
Yeah, really. They work at a Walmart as a greeter.
Yeah.
Rockets. Oh, you spin me right round.
Yep, there you go.
That's I'm counting two.
Ashley's on the board.
Buy my science.
Oh, Jack and Diane.
Jack and Diane, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dance in the Dark.
Ah. This is serious. Mickey, here's a fun.
Who gets that one?
Me.
I'm going to say Ashley got that one.
But she said, no, Mickey's the title, dingus.
I got that.
Mickey's the name of the title. She said the lyric. She said, Mickey, you're so fine. I said, Mickey.
She still got Mickey out first.
Aha.
You know, you're such a turd.
I also really got are that turd. Last one because you were talking over me.
It's like 57 to 1.
Yeah, you're winning by turd. 5 points.
I want to win by more, turd. That's your name from now on, turd.
There's no prize at the end of this. No.
Yes, there is. There's a recognition in knowing.
It's pride.
This isn't the World Cup, okay?
I'll use a cup and drown you in a second.
We can go back and do a replay at the
end.
Nah,
it's all right. Don't worry about it. I'll give it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will come in there and I will shove that up your butt.
All right.
Not you, Chess.
To each other, mine.
Yes, to each other, mine.
Right. We already established the point for that one.
Okay, yes, so yes, make sure. Yes.
Oh, hold on loosely.
The two dreams are made of these.
Hold on.
Sweet
who are you scoring for?
Are made of these.
All right, so Sweet Dreams, who got that one?
That one was me. Ashley. She said, one before that I'm giving to AJ.
She said Patrice Dreams. She said Patrice Dreams. Listen back. This song I've listened to is Walk Like Egyptian.
Yep.
Ben James Eyes.
Yep.
Tenfold.
This sucks.
Wow. Hey.
I'm surprised AJ's not.
I know.
On this one
Hang
right
on.
Now.
I don't know.
You know this song.
AJ!
Oh, drop the bomb on me.
Jesus!
Took me a second! Relax, turd. Major Tom.
How did you know that?
Just because I hate this video.
I know it because I hate it.
Heart beat count.
I don't even remember this song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember this song.
I watched a lot of MTV back in the day, and this was on like every friggin' hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I can listen to it now. I'm over it.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah.
Did it get any airplay?
It did, yeah. FM stations are playing this one. Mostly alternative stations.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
That's weird.
Stupid freaking song. They play it too much.
I can't even understand what he's saying.
It's not.
English? Basically, it's a continuation.
You get into an Uber and the driver starts talking to you like this, get out.
This is a continuation of Space Oddity by David Bowie.
All right.
So he took the Major Tom character and went further down with it.
Yeah, I remember this one. Yeah, okay.
One, yeah. It's Hard in My Heart, Quarter Flesh.
Mary, play that one. She's just got syllables.
You gotta put all those together and make a word.
Did we do? I was gonna say Betty Davis eyes, but I think we did that already.
It did sound like that.
Songs might repeat, but this one hasn't played yet.
I don't know what the hell it is. Is this? Oh, was this a Father Figure by?
Wow.
Okay. What we played already?
Yeah. All right. So that doesn't count.
Yeah. Like a Virgin, Madonna.
Oh, I'm getting my butt handed to me right now.
Oh, Our House, Madness. Love this song. This is very dynamic, and there's a great video, too. You remember the guys were all like, it was their house. And
this is very
the mom
dynamic.
The mom, well, this is the sound. It's like wall of sound quality. Yeah, like feeling like, you know. I mean, listen how dynamic it sounds. This is a great song. That was a great band. One of the early ska bands actually had commercial success.
Yeah.
Yep.
This was in a commercial for something like Maxwell House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So remember the mom was one of the guys with a beard with a blonde wig on him?
What, in the video?
In the video, yeah. And the video was like very silly. It was a very silly band.
One part of this video. Yeah.
They had this and One Step Beyond.
Oh, yeah.
And One Step Beyond was just something. One Step Beyond! Great song. If Phil can find that
I wouldn't peg you as a madhouse.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Can we
yeah.
quiz AJ on boy band songs next?
Oh, that's
round,
fun.
Round just, two.
I'm happy to lose that one.
Yeah. Played that one.
Oh,
right now, Jennifer's. Yeah. Jennifer's screaming at the radio.
In a good way, or?
Yeah, she loves this song.
Okay, cool.
Ashley, no pressure, but you're losing by 15.
Oh, My Prerogative?
16.
I want to know what love is.
I want to. Yep, there you go.
15.
Don't Worry, Be Happy.
16.
Stray Cats, Rock This Town.
17.
Oh.
Def Leppard, Portia Figueroa Me.
18.
Had that one. It's failure distracting me. Prince.
Let's Go Crazy.
19.
Gloria?
20.
All right. We're good.
25 to 5, AJ.
I forfeit.
I don't know why I love this song.
Because it was just fun to say.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, first of all, she was hot.
Was she?
Laura Branigan was gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah. Remember they had an episode of Chips and she started going with Punch. I think her car was out of control or something like that and he saved her and she was like constantly with him and everything. Yeah. Yeah, she transitioned from not only, you know, music to also being in like, you know, TV shows of the month back right. then, you know? The Flavors. Yeah, she was gorgeous. Brunette.
You know this, but man, 401k could be right in front of you. You would have no idea what it is.
Not a clue, no.
Toy Story 4 opened last night. It's the big weekend. Is it better than the first, second, or third? How does it stand? Where does it rate? Is it worth going to see? Phil and Amanda went last night along with intern Jingles, but Jingles wasn't with you, right?
No, she was in another theater.
That'd be awkward.
All right, so we have three people on the show now seeing this. Mm-hmm. All right, Phil, you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, look, they know how to make this movie at this point. It's great. The cast is unbelievable. And I think that's the part that really got to me is like how many people they were able to cram into this movie.
Any new voices in there?
Yes. So early on in the movie, there's a scene where they're in one of the kids' closets and they have all these older toys that don't get played with anymore.
Yeah.
Aww. And I didn't catch it at the moment, but I went onto the IMDb page like as we were leaving. So it's Mel Brooks, oh, Betty wow. White, wow. Carol Burnett. And I'm forgetting the fourth one. Amanda will remember.
Carl Reiner.
Yes, Carl Reiner.
Wow. They went deep.
They did.
They
that's
went
cool.
Deep.
It's yeah. very cool.
Do you remember what toys they were?
So that's my favorite part. So like Mel Brooks is an elephant, and his name is Melephant Brooks.
Nice.
That's awesome.
They got a good sense of humor there. That's cool.
Carol Burnett is a chair, and she's Cheryl Burnett.
Nice.
This is fantastic. That's yeah. amazing. Cool.
And I got to be
what
honest.
Was Carl Reiner?
I did not catch it. He's a Carl Rhinoceros or something like that.
That's okay. Awesome. Yeah. That works.
Yeah.
So what's the storyline?
So at the end of the third movie, which we
don't
were
give
talking
anything
about
away.
Yesterday, I won't. But the end of the third movie, which they were talking about yesterday, is they move on from Andy's toys to now being Bonnie's toys. So we right. open with sort of like a little montage to catch you up a little bit. And then now they're in Bonnie's room. And the whole power structure is different. So we're used to seeing like Woody and Buzz being like the two popular toys. But that was with a boy. Now they're playing with a girl. So new toys have become the most popular and the favorite. So some of the characters that we're used to seeing have sort of fallen out of favor. And now they're not getting played with as much. So there's a lot of, you know, scenes where the girl's not in the room and they're like, it's okay, Woody. Like, she'll play with you next time. And, like, you could tell, like, this has been going on for a while where, like, he's getting ignored now.
Right.
And, like, he's having a hard time, like, not being the most popular toy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. It's almost like a little Hollywood message in there.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Yep. Right, exactly. Yeah. I know what you're thinking.
Which is what really makes that scene with Mel Brooks and Carol Burnett so great. Because, like, you haven't thought about these guys in a while. And, yeah. like, they're among the forgotten toys.
I love Carol Burnett. She's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a hysterical. Really great scene looking back.
So what's the, can you tell us what the plot line?
Yeah, so they go on like a little road trip and a lot of the toys go with her. And she had made a toy in orientation for kindergarten called Forky. Because, you know, kids are so creative with the names they give their toys.
Forks, yeah. Forks, I'm guessing.
So Forky.
It's a spork.
Forky, right. It's actually a spork. But his name is Forky, played by Tony Hale, who's one of the guys from Arrested Development. And he gets lost, constantly keeps getting lost. So Woody's job is to make sure that he keeps bringing Forky back because he's now this girl Bonnie's favorite toy.
So Woody and Forky, huh?
Woody and Forky.
Nothing,
a lot of the movie
Forty in there
is just Woody and Forky walking, talking, fighting.
Woody wants a Forky?
Exactly.
So
I've been playing with lately. It's why.
AJ, don't corrupt this movie for me.
I'm like,
I am so self-editing right now.
So on this road trip, as they keep trying to leave and Woody keeps going to bring the toy back, they're like, you know, Woody, like, maybe you should just stay out there. Like, maybe there's a new kid out there for you. And then they finally That's meet worse. Up with, like, another group of toys. And then, you know, they're trying to make their way back to Bonnie. So my favorite part is some of the sabotaging that the other toys do to, like, the RV vehicle that they're in to try to allow Woody more time to come back.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. But some of the new toys are very fun. So, like, Key and Peele.
Okay, yes.
Are both like sort of the same toy. They're like tied together the whole movie. That's a lot of fun watching them on screen.
Amanda, what did you think?
I loved it. I mean, I'm a big Disney person anyway. I honestly thought that I had gotten through like the big emotional scene without tears. I was like, oh, I did it. This is great. And then, of course, 5 minutes later, they hit you hard again, and I was like, oh, crap, and my eyes are just immediately full of water. And I was, you know, pretty much sobbing hysterically in a theater full of children.
So still have that smirk on his face when you were crying?
I was trying not to look at
him. Oh, yeah. He looks at me in these like with these big eyes and just gives us that, you know, little half smile, and I'm like, shut up. Like, you don't have a soul.
I didn't say anything.
And that's when the popcorn bucket went over his head.
So we were leaving the theater, and I was like, so did you cry? And she goes, yeah, but, like, it wasn't an Endgame cry.
Well, you rate them differently, huh?
Wow. Not that epic, I guess.
You're crying at a cartoon.
So we were sitting as the credits were rolling, and Amanda was like, I just want to see who all the voices were. I was like, okay. So the lights come on in the theater, and, like, some people are leaving, and, like, three rows in front of us, this family of five stands up. It's like the mom gets out, and then all the three kids are coming, and then the father's behind them. And he sort of like looks at me and gives me a nod like, yeah, I know. And then he sort of looks in my row and sees no children and then looks back at me and gives me this look like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm trapped. Save yourself.
I was like, yep, that's me.
My so life. That's a movie you see once and you're good?
I'm good with one.
One and done?
Yeah. Amanda?
I would totally see it again if not for just like the little, I mean, we didn't realize until after, like, you know, Phyllis said that it was Carol Burnett and Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, that all these like really big names were in the movie until after. And like, I want to go back and rewatch that scene just to see, you know, if I can pinpoint, you know, who's who and where they are. And I imagine that there are so many voices that we missed in the end. And I just, you know, the movie is like just chock full of stars and talent.
And And they always do the fake outtakes at the end, right? Did they have that or no?
Bloopers?
No, they did not do that this time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think because of the way the movie ends, which we won't talk about. Don't worry. We're not going to spoil it.
Don't do it.
But I think because of the movie and the way that it ended, they're like, that we're not going to be able to do better. And we're not going to, like, we want this moment to resonate.
Yeah,
so we're going to just leave it there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so can you tell us the emotion you feel at the end of this?
It's a simultaneous sort of like you're happy, but like things are not how they were when the movie started. So like there's a big change that happens, and you're sad that it's not like the same that you're used to. So like something happens where things are going to change, and I'm trying to be as vague as possible.
You guys know it's a cartoon, right?
They get dumped in a Goodwill box?
No. Okay. No, nothing like that.
Tag sale.
Carl Weathers also makes an appearance in the movie. I forgot to mention
Apollo?
That, AJ.
Really?
Yep. Yep. His name in the movie is Combat Carl.
So he got work. Woo!
That's right. And
Keanu Reeves totally steals the show.
I could have done with like 10 more minutes of Keanu Reeves'
Keanu
character.
Keanu Reeves is in there?
He's Duke Kaboom!
I was never a Keanu
Duke Kaboom.
Fan.
He's the Canadian Evil Knievel toy.
So I can see it.
Excellent.
So they spell Kaboom C-A-B-O-O.
Yeah, Kaboom. Yeah.
And whenever they're like, hey, Duke Kaboom, can you make this jump? Yes, I, Canada!
Jingles, what did you think?
I loved it. I've always been a really big Disney fan, and Toy Story's always been
like
my favorite.
You just walked right out of the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I had to chug a double shot espresso before we started this break because she's been nonstop talking about the movie.
Oh, like, so give us like a minute on this and then we'll go.
So I've always loved Toy Story. And going into this, like after watching the trailer, I was really nervous because I was like, what are they going to do with the fourth movie? Like, I feel like the third kind of ended at a good place. But honestly, I really loved it. The ending definitely made me emotional. I cried. I agree with Amanda. It wasn't Endgame, like, ugly crying.
ugly,
I just
like,
love that that's the standard.
No, yeah, it's true.
Endgame, like, what, boogers out the nose and just...
Like, complete
makeup
ugly
all over your face.
Oh, yeah.
Get the raccoon eyes.
I don't remember crying at the end of Endgame.
What?
you guys know this.
What?
You know Toy Story is a cartoon, right?
Yes. Yeah. But like, okay, I've grown up watching like Toy Story.
Yeah.
So it really hit hard.
Right.
There are,
but
like,
I loved it.
Three other cameos that I wanted to mention real quick. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers appears very briefly in the movie. I didn't catch it when it happened. It was another thing I went back and looked on that IMDb page. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Timothy Dalton is in. So like, you have a James Bond actor.
Former James Bond.
Yep.
One movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I really was mostly impressed with the cast. Like when you go back and you look at everybody that's in this movie, I'm like, wow. I'm like, you don't even see any of their faces on screen, but like they're falling over themselves to try to get involved in some of this Pixar money now.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like they just threw these people in and just have a bunch of names. Like,
definitely
all the
not.
Characters and make sense to the storyline.
It was really
so.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add in, Amanda?
No, I think everyone said it best. Again, the cast is amazing. The story is really well done. And like Phil said, it follows the Toy Story, like, you know, template. Like, it's got a little bit of an adventure when they're lost and they have to get back and, you know, that whole thing. But it's actually quite original. But yeah, I mean, it wraps up the Toy Story saga, I think, really, really nicely.
Well, there was a new character that you, every time they came on screen, Amanda would look at me and go, I hate it.
You know? They should have an adult version Toy Story.
An adult Toy Story.
Exactly, yeah.
Interesting.
It's a little bit like a horror film.
Yeah, Buzzy Busby.
Yeah. Right, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yes, okay. We will. Yeah.
All right, Amanda, thank you. Fran Capo is here. She's performing tomorrow at Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, and I think you could get tickets at
Eventbrite or whatever it is.
Eventbrite also, Eventbrite, if you go yes. Love, yeah. Laughter, and Light. Yes. Or go to Seven Angels Theater, theatre.org.
So we are going to laugh at this thing. This is going to be funny, but storytelling and...
Right.
Is
right.
there any story, sad part? I don't want a sad part.
Well, there is a sad part, but then it turns into a... Because... You know, you tell stories of overcoming. I also tell, okay. But it's sad, but it has a good ending.
Are we done with the Titanic part? I was fascinated with that.
I'm riveted, man.
We're going to put that up on WPLR.com as audio on demand.
Yeah, she saw
actually,
the Titanic.
She was feet away from the damn Titanic.
Yep. That's insane.
It's insane.
More people have been to outer space than have gone down to see the Titanic. And no more civilians could ever go. I was on the last trip down to the Titanic.
You ruined it for the rest of
That's
us.
That's it.
With the Japanese woman.
Too many people. You had 60. Yeah, right.
He's like, I can't take this. Your Russian voice.
I can't.
That was German. Yeah. All right, let's talk about this hot air balloon thing. What's the deal with that?
Well,
that doesn't seem like a big deal. Like, people can do that.
Well, hot air ballooning, I mean, is a cool thing to do. First of all, when you do hot air balloon, you could only do it in the morning or at night. That's the only
two
times.
I'm never going to do it.
I would love to do it. I can't find anybody to take me up.
Well, what
Wonder
do you mean?
Why.
There's the festivals that happen.
They won't do it.
Yeah.
I tried.
Well, first of all, if you look it up, actually, I have a book called Adrenaline Adventures, and in it, I have a list of all different hot air ballooning places throughout the United States.
And why would you want to go up in a hot air
balloon? See, a hot air balloon doesn't feel to me like it's full of adrenaline. It seems like a very lovely trip in the clouds. And
well, it is, and that was the problem for me, because I went up there.
So you jumped out.
Yeah, and so what I did was, the first time I did it, because I did hot air ballooning twice, the first time I did it, I said, come on, we're over water. Can't you make the basket go down and touch the water? And he goes, well, you know, we're not really... I go, come on.
We can.
So he had
if
it...
If I'm in the basket with you, I'm throwing you out. No, you're that person. Oh, yeah, let's put us in danger.
That's
I'm hanging out for my life. Oh, yeah, you're going off the side. You want to see the water?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Splash. Don't shoot the power lines.
I'll be over here.
So we touched down. We came back up. Everybody was a little upset because obviously water got into the basket and they had stuff laying at
all
the bottom.
Wait,
you're that person.
Yeah, they did it.
Right.
Well, hey, it was only four of us and it was all our family in there. But then the second time I did it, it was I was doing a bungee jump out of the hot air balloon, which is close to you, Chaz, wanting to throw me out.
Yeah.
So you go up there.
You can do it over and again. Yes.
Right. We can combine all of those.
Over and over again.
I would never do that.
Throw it. Go ahead.
Nope.
Yeah.
So everybody was like, how'd you do it? The balloon was tethered. It goes up. And they said, don't worry. You know, they have you step out onto the little, you know, platform. You look down and you're like, it's 250 feet down. And they say, now you just have to relax. I said, relax. I'm going to be, you know, like so nervous, relax. But you go down, then you come back up and you go down, you come back up. So it's like, relax.
Unless the rope is 260 feet long.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of that where the rope is too long.
Right.
Like they didn't calculate in the stretch.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, this elastic is like 200 feet. This is 220. We're good.
Right.
Like,
right. Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's when you hope you're over the water and not necessarily over land.
Exactly.
Right. Or rocks.
Yeah, I don't know. The hot air balloon's never going to happen for
me. I'm good.
It's nice and mellow, though, guys.
See, that's what I would like. I don't want to jump out. But
hitting
like
some power lines, not so mellow.
No, yeah. No. That's pretty hot, actually.
Go above them. Yeah.
No, but the person that's in the hot air balloon can't control where the balloon's going. It's not like, oh, all right, let's take a turn over here and go over. It's like...
Right.
Oh, it's a windy day. And we're in Vermont now.
Yeah.
Well, you're thinking Wizard of Oz, you know?
It's the way it happened. You get to just make that up.
You get to narrate what you're about to hit. Power lines.
Yeah, then I would jump out with Fran. Brian the landscaper.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
So I have a cabin up in Vermont, right? And it's right on a lake. And we're just enjoying a nice fishing trip, me and my dad. All of a sudden, here comes this hot air balloon, getting lower. We're like, uh-oh. And all of a sudden, this thing crashes right into the middle of the lake, and we had to go save everybody.
How many people?
How mellow was that?
There's three people.
You were the guy.
So I guess it's better going in a helicopter.
She said she wanted to touch the water.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, no, I'm with Chaz on this one. I'm not going up in no hot air balloon.
Yeah, if
no.
It pops and drops, I'm not into it. No.
No, that's what happened. Like, why would you do that? I could see, like, maybe back in whatever year they came up with this and thought, well, we can get from one place to another place without riding a horse.
Better transportation now.
Right.
Exactly.
I think they were invented to be like spy vehicles in the war, right?
Maybe.
Like they would go up in the balloon straight up to look over at what the enemy had in terms of troops and equipment.
They also used to drop things too.
Like, yeah, it was like you go up and you come back down, and then probably one person at some point forgot to tie the rope.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, there it goes. Now what do we do?
Right. Think of it this way.
And then they get the guy down. It's like, that was actually kind of nice.
Yeah. Think of it this way. A kid with a slingshot can take your life.
We were just talking about the hot air balloon. She was like feet away from the Titanic. So she went down, 2.5 miles?
Yeah. It makes you wonder, is there anything left in your bucket list?
Well, you know, and it's funny. I call it a living list of yes, because my husband and I, when we got married.
Living list. I like that.
Yeah. We have not gone on our honeymoon yet, and I think he's purposely holding off because I want to rappel down a volcano in Iceland. And he keeps going, all right, well, you know, we're going to get to that. I'm like, what, we were married 2 years ago? We've been together 20 years, but we got married 2 years ago. We had knives thrown at us at the wedding. That's a whole other story that I tell.
Angry family?
Yeah, yeah, no, no,
like
no.
Their seating?
They couldn't find rice.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? It's just like, I love anything that's different. I'm going, why be ordinary if you could be extraordinary? And everybody has a special talent inside, and they just have to figure out what it is and let it shine. And so I'm like, make your wedding your own. So we had a nun break into the wedding and go, stop the wedding. He's a Jew. She's Italian. They've been living in sin for 19 years. And we're like, too late, sister. We already got married.
It's like performance theater.
Yeah, it was great. And the other thing I want to say
But can I just say this card that you handed us? It's like a poster card, and it has all the information of your career on it. And on one side of it is a montage of just it's a collection of photos of you doing different things.
Everything,
there's the bow of the Titanic. There's you on the hot air balloon. There's the knives being thrown. It reminds me of the end of Titanic when Rose is like, she's living that life that Jack told her to live.
Yeah. Yes.
And you see that montage of every different thing. Like
she
she's horseback riding and she's doing this and doing
it's
and like living.
Jack
like
could have lived. There was more than enough room on that.
Yeah,
for
they
two people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was not a nice thing to do.
No, like, there was more than enough room to spoon each other, for goodness sake.
Anyway, use your frozen jack.
And this is just what you were able to fit on this card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. My mom taught me that nothing is impossible, and my dad taught me to always find the humor in life. So with that philosophy, if I see someone running a marathon, I'm like, they run a marathon, I could run a marathon. They climb a mountain, I could climb a mountain.
Yeah, so you climbed Kilimanjaro.
I climbed Kilimanjaro.
So did you see dead people along the way?
No. You think at Everest.
Yeah, but people die on Kilimanjaro.
Well, yeah. Actually, it's the tallest freestanding mountain in the world. And the thing is, I took my son, and he's going, I'm going, Spencer, we're going to climb Kilimanjaro. And he's like, I don't even like to walk.
Really?
I'm like, you're missing the point. The glaciers are going to melt by the year 2015. It was 2004. He's going, Mom, we got time.
Yeah.
And really. So why rush?
It took us 10 days to get up there. And every day, it was like, it wasn't looking like it was getting any closer. And the night that we summited it, my son's going, we're going up there. It was minus 15 degrees, 45-mile-an-hour winds. Right? And my son's going, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. And he's going, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. And then I'm thinking, we're going to die. What was I thinking?
Right.
You know? And so then
just like a kite. Yeah.
And then when we were up at the top, people are up there. So I'm like, you're up here. Buy a book. So I did a book signing at the top. I figured if they're already up there, why not get them to buy a book?
Interesting.
Yeah.
But so what was there any point in there where you saw something that you're like, wow, did people leave a lot of garbage behind? Or look
no.
At that looks like a human skull.
Right, yeah.
No, this is... we did.
How did that cat get up here?
Send any messages cat while you were up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a bottle. Yeah, you know, it's funny.
What do you mean? Why do you go like this?
That's the last woman that was in.
Messages.
Oh, Kilimanjaro.
That's right.
Said, the code is you send a message.
Yeah, you're pooping.
What do you mean?
If you poop, it's called sending a message.
Right.
Oh, they didn't give me that memo. But you know what?
But you
probably did. Oh, you have to. But the thing is, We were not on the side of the mountain where all the people were, because there's the Coca-Cola route where this you could see everybody in front of you. It was just us. We saw nobody else. The funny thing is they kept saying, you know, there's wildlife up here, and there was no bushes or anything. And I'm going, well, how could it, where could the elephant hide?
Right.
I mean, where the heck can they hide?
Yeah.
You know,
what are they eating?
I kept thinking of like that cartoon Fantasia where they hide, you know, the hippos hide behind the trees. And I'm like, going, where could you be?
Yeah, it's not happening.
Everything that I do, I just, you know, I do have fear, but I decide to do it anyway. And then when I'm up there, I'm like, well, let me, what can I do up there? Let me do, you know, let me sell some books.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I do want to say one thing about one book.
All right, we got like a half a minute.
Oh, okay. So I have 21 books that I've written. One of the books that I wrote, Hopeville, the City of Light, was actually channeled to me. I heard a voice at 4 o'clock in the morning that said, get up, you got to write a book. It's got the secrets of happiness. I'm arguing
with Was it a male voice or a female voice?
And I swear, I cannot tell you.
It was like right in between. It was one of those voices. If you're on the phone, you're like, I can't tell if I'm talking to a guy
or a husband, girl.
Yeah, right. And, yeah, exactly. And at that time, I wasn't married, but who knows? It might have been a stalker hiding under the bed. But the thing was, the book, I said, okay, I wrote down the name, Hopeville, the City of Light. And because we only got a minute, I'll just say it real quick. So what wound up happening was I was going to do a chapter in my other book, Adrenaline Adventures. And for some reason, my fingers were frozen and I actually couldn't type that day for that book. And I said, oh, let me
When you were in the capsule with the two people going down to that Titanic, did you talk this much?
No.
Okay, good. Because I would be like, I'm going to strangle this lady because I can't take this. Like, I need some quiet time. You're making me crazy. And then the Russian would be like, you two need to settle down. We can't have this going on.
We're going to
like, you got to tell her to stop talking.
I'm crazy. I'm going to push you outside of your head.
Well, actually, he did say that. He goes, enough. He goes, next time I... He didn't say it to me. He said it to the Japanese woman. Next time I put you outside, submarine. And I was like, he wants to kill you. But
I
got
to go to a break here. But thank you for coming in. We're linked up at WPLR.com. If you want to see Fran tomorrow, it's Love, Laughter, and Light at Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury. Thank you, Fran. Madison teacher claims she was fired from her teaching job after posting semi-nudes in support of Trump. Now, did she get fired because of her support for Trump or because of the semi-nudes or a little bit of both? Her attorney, Matt Paradisi. I almost want to say Paradisi.
Right, but Paradisi.
That's more fun.
Exactly, yeah.
Her attorney's on the phone right now. Hey, so what's the deal? What happened?
How are you, Chaz and AJ? This is Matt Paradisi from Chiquello & Chiquello Law Firm here in Hartford. Yeah, so we represent Ms. Chelsea Zelasco in a lawsuit that she's brought against the Grove School. The fundamental thing at issue here is that the Grove School terminated her in response to her engaging in her fundamental First Amendment rights to freedom of expression.
So she was looking for some work or something, right? Took some pictures of her.
Yeah.
The pictures that I saw related to the website was she looked nude with a flag.
Right.
Right. And the flag was strategically covering up parts. And then there was one where she's with like a semi-automatic weapon.
Right.
And I don't know how the Trump part of it comes in. I don't know how the school found out that she was a Trump supporter. Were these pictures used for Trump support?
Yeah, I can jump in here. So these photographs were part of a series of articles published by this online outfit, betterthantheweekend.com. And in connection with these photographs, there was also an interview that the website had with her, and she expressed her views in connection with that interview on a host of politically charged topics, who should be the next president of the United States, her views on immigration, her views on Hillary Clinton, her views on gun control, and we have good reason to believe, as we allege in our complaint, that the school was motivated by some of the things that she said in connection with that interview when they terminated her employment.
All right, gotcha. So they hire her, and then, you know, as some parents do, Google the name of teachers,
right,
and then this stuff comes up, and they're like, hey, what's the deal
they
here?
Blow a stack.
And so when the school fired her, did they cite this? Did they follow a procedure?
I'll quote them for you. They said, quote, the Grove School cannot allow itself to be associated with this kind of behavior. So they, I think, straightforwardly admitted that they fired her for engaging in this protected activity. And in Connecticut, We have a special statute, 3151Q, that says an employer cannot fire somebody for expressing themselves and engaging in protected speech under the First Amendment.
The nude part and the part with the gun and the kids, does that create a problem for your case?
So I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, there is not a photograph that's in this piece that's more risque than anything you might encounter at a swim class at the YMCA.
Right.
Really?
She's not.
I felt like the flag one was a little, I don't know.
What, you think disrespectful?
I thought it was sexual.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I come from an art background. I study studio art, design, the whole nine yards. I think maybe it's the nudity here that makes parents uncomfortable.
But did she do it in the schools? Did she take the pictures
in
the school?
No, I can tell you,
she did not.
Yeah.
Right.
These photographs
were taken before she was hired.
Right.
These photographs were taken 2 years before she was hired. She wasn't trying to hide anything. If you did a quick Google search, it would pop up. It's not like this wasn't something that could not have been discovered with a modicum of due diligence. She was expressing her beliefs on at the time was the most important topic being discussed by anybody in the country.
How old are
who should be the next president?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
How old are her students?
So I think they range. I think it ranges from middle school through high school at the
middle
Grove school.
Okay,
so not like infants.
Right.
No,
at the same time, though, if you're a parent, right, and there's a lot of these stories about teachers with students and all this stuff, you Google the name of your teacher and you see her posing like nude with a flag.
Right.
That's like, okay, no, I don't know about that. But then with the gun, it's like, okay, go.
Well, if you're a dad, you're going to drop your kid up at school all the time now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, she's got a right to express herself in the way she sees fit on these topics. You know, it reminds me of the old quote from Evelyn Beatrice Hall, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it."
Yeah.
In a free country.
I get all of that, and I'm with you,
yeah.
And I'm one of those people who think that way. But it almost feels like they would have a case that this is not the behavior you want to, you don't want to Google a teacher and then see them, like, nude, wrapped in a flag, and then holding a machine gun.
Well, not all teachers, no.
Yeah, you know?
That one's cool.
Here's the thing, though. The day we start allowing employers to fire people in response to them holding the views that we don't like or expressing them in ways we think are too risque,
that's the day we start losing those rights. So it's not the view of the Trump and the immigration. I don't think that that's the problem,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the, like she's nude holding a machine gun, right?
I think it is, and I think we have good reason to believe, as will be more fleshed out during the course of the litigation that's going to ensue, that her views on these topics were a motivating factor in the Grove School's decision to terminate her.
Interesting.
Gotcha.
And what's the reaction been for you taking the case?
I've seen a lot of commentary on, Facebook pages where...
No, don't even read that.
Yeah, Facebook,
you're not getting anybody who's reasonable.
On social media.
For every 30 comments, maybe there's one reasonable person.
Right.
There has been a mix, but I would like to clear up a couple of misconceptions that seem to be, of a couple of kinds. One is people's understanding of the term at-will employment. At-will employment doesn't mean that an employer can fire you for an unlawful reason. While generally it means that you can be fired for any reason or no reason whatsoever, in Connecticut, like in most states, we have a bevy of exceptions to that doctrine.
Are you basically saying the school screwed up when they wrote that letter?
I'm saying they screwed up by firing my client for expressing her views
on important topics. But if they didn't write the letter the way they did, they could just fire her. If they didn't say the firing is connected to the pictures and the gun and the opinions, they didn't write that in the letter.
Are you asking if they did a good job in covering their tracks and their true motivation?
No, what I'm saying is they did the opposite. They did a bad job because that letter now is your case.
Yeah.
Now, if they just fired her and said, yeah, we're moving on and we're not going to give you an explanation, that would be easier for them to defend than this letter, right?
It might be easier, but, as an attorney in a law firm with, experienced attorneys who've been litigating these cases for decades, there are certainly ways to probe the motivations of somebody who's not forthright in conveying why they terminated somebody.
All right. So if anyone gets fired from a job, right, and there's no paper trail, like let's just say someone walks in and says, all right, Ashley, we're going in another direction.
Right. Exactly. Right. Right.
You know, just using you as an example. Right. We love Ashley at
like
very much.
At like 9:50 today.
So she could call a lawyer and get defended and successfully win that?
It happens all the time. We have cases where people are fired because they're pregnant, because they filed workers' compensation claims, because of their skin color, because they have disabilities or need medical leave. And you know, a lot of employers certainly are smart about how they go about these things. But again, you know, with enough experience and sitting across the table from these individuals who are trying to hide why they actually fired people, there are certainly ways to probe deeper into the reasons that an employer espouses for terminating somebody.
All right, so resolution to this in your mind is what? She gets her job back or she gets a check?
You know, I don't know quite what the resolution is going to be. It's much too early for that, but I can certainly say that we're seeking reinstatement, or in lieu of reinstatement, we're seeking back pay and front pay, punitive damages, and the attorney's fees and costs that we're going to accumulate over the course of litigating this case.
Holy crap.
What do you think your chances are?
It sounds like it'd be easier to write out a check for them right now. Let's just make this go away.
Exactly, yeah.
AJ asked what you think your chances are. Obviously, you think they're good.
Yeah, you know, we're not in the business of bringing bad cases. We're not in the business of filing frivolous lawsuits. We have good evidence at the outset, and I think we'll be able to develop better evidence during the course of the case. We don't take these cases if we think we're going to lose.
All right, so I saw you in the News 8 piece, and there was some trophy like of a football over on your desk. What's that?
Oh boy.
Is that yours?
It is.
And what'd you win that for?
I'm a Valley guy from I went to Naugatuck High School. That's the most valuable player award from the Naugatuck Ansonia Thanksgiving Day game back in 2001.
You didn't pose it, did you?
What's that?
All right. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. All right.
Time now for Boss Keith's Top 5.
Dave Matthews is playing the Xfinity Theater this weekend, Saturday.
Yes.
And Phil Lesh played the Outlaw Festival last weekend at the Xfinity Theater. So my top 5 things are top 5 things that drive me crazy about hippie culture.
Oh,
I have a real problem with hippie culture, and there are 5 reasons why.
You have problems? Yeah. Wow.
That's kind of what this segment really is. Yeah. This segment is never happy things Keith likes.
It's never
top 5 things that make me happy.
Exactly, right. Yeah, there's a challenge for you.
Right.
Except when it's about why, like, his birthday rules.
Right. Like, I love my birthday.
Or that best day of the year.
Right. June 2nd's the best day of the year. Right. Okay, so number 5, patchouli oil. How is this still popular? Why is it still sold? So I used to think people used it to cover weed smell, right. But like weed's legal now, so like who cares?
It doesn't matter.
So
no, they're addicted.
It doesn't smell good. It's not an aphrodisiac. It's gross.
Don't you think it smells like hamsters?
To other
that should be their slogan. Patchouli oil. Smell like hamsters.
To other hippies, it's an aphrodisiac.
I refuse to believe that. I don't think anybody thinks it smells good.
No, it smells like hamsters.
Wait, where did you hear that?
I'm just thinking other hippies would think that it smells like them, so it's like people.
Oh,
you know, like.
But if you smell
certain,
like that, would you know someone else smells like that?
You'd pick it up. I think, yeah,
like a pheromone. Kind
exactly
of thing?
Right. Like if you smelled cologne or like soap, you'd stay away from that person. But patchouli oil, I say, oh, one of mine.
This is not true. So if you're wearing Dracar Noir and I'm wearing Dracar Noir,
I'm not
like,
going to smell it.
Oh, you smell it. Yeah, we wouldn't smell it.
Right. First of all, I'm not sniffing you.
I think AJ's wrong here.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, there's a shock.
Number 4. Noodle dancing. This is a phenomenon you see
at
Fish concerts and all those fake Grateful Dead bands. It's not dancing.
Wasn't that porn?
It doesn't look hot. It's not cool. It almost looks like a seizure. Have you seen the noodle dancing?
Is that like those inflatable things outside the store?
No, yeah, like people do it. But you dance sort of like this, and you sort of jump back and forth, and you like feel the music and your arms dangle.
Maybe
it's awful.
Maybe they have a seizure. Try grabbing their tongue next time.
I hate, and it's especially prevalent at Fish. Less Dave Matthews, more Fish.
Gotcha.
Number 3 is parking lot grilled cheeses. Actually, that's a lie. I love parking lot grilled cheeses. They're my favorite thing of all these shows.
Did they make them actually in parking lot? Or?
Hey, then how did it make your list?
Well, I'm just like throwing different things I wanted to talk about. I had four.
He needed
and then
something.
I was like, what else is part of hippie culture? And parking lot grilled cheeses are a phenomenon at all these shows. They sell them for $3 and they're delicious.
Do they make actually in the parking lot?
Yeah, they make them while they're tailgating on like little hot plates.
Oh, no, I'm thinking the parking lot itself. Like they put a piece of bread in the parking lot, put cheese on it, and wait for the heat to melt it. I bet
right, you then they got to brush off the pebbles.
I bet you could. Well, you put a piece of like
this
glass,
is crunchy.
A piece of tinfoil. I'm like, yeah.
Tinfoil.
They pour like a little dollop of patchouli oil, and then they fry the bread in the oil.
Exactly. Right.
You smell like me. You must be good.
You smell cheese on me.
Number two are tie-dye shirts. I irrationally hate everything about tie-dye shirts. And my daughters always go to birthday parties where they make tie-dye shirts.
Yes. Oh,
and then you bring them home and you got to hang them up and I throw them out.
Oh, really?
And then the next day they go, where are the shirts? I go, the wind. I don't know. They're gone. They have made hundreds of tie-dye shirts and I've thrown them all away. They're all
so
gone.
Much fun.
So windy. Windy in my backyard. Wow,
the
Your
wind
kids.
Took another one, kids.
Kids are going to wind up with Dr. Phil one day.
Yeah. Right.
You don't want to put them in the washing machine, though, especially with whites.
Yes. Right. You throw them out. Yeah. That's the solution. Oh, here's this tie-dye shirt we made at this dumb party. Now it's in the trash.
Gotcha. And now the kids know.
And number one is jamming. I hate jamming. Play your songs, play them right, and end them. They should be short. They should be concise. They should sound like the radio. I hate 8-minute-long versions of any songs. U2 sometimes adds lyrics. I'm into that a little bit. Like when they do it live, they change some of the lyrics. But anything that makes a 4-minute song, a 12-minute song, I am not into.
I agree with you. Zach Brown's bad at that. Love Zach Brown.
Ugh.
But I want to go hear their song.
That's like jamming country. That's even worse. That's a whole nother list. 4.5-minute songs, then on to the next song.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Mm. That's it. Those are my top 5 things that I don't like about hippie culture.
All right.
All right. And so you will not be at Dave Matthews.
I will not. Never. Ever.
If you see an angry person eating a grilled cheese sandwich in the parking lot, that's Keith.
And if you see a pile of tie-dye shirts somewhere.
Right. On fire.
Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.